It's time to know your lane.
In hockey, this is not only supported, this is
a badge of honor.
Oh, absolutely. You're an agitator. You're a pain in the ass. You're a guy who the other teams hate. This is something that is going to put you on the map as a player. Why does anyone care if Stroman's hated by other teams?
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
All right, Gord Miller's in here. He's got his TSN shirt on.
I do, yeah.
We're on TV now.
I have a few of these.
How many of those golf shirts do you think you have?
I'm going to say in the 25 to 30 range.
Every year you get a new batch?
Four.
I've got probably six or seven. None of them fit.
So we had, before we renovated the house, we had a closet in the basement with a bar that was bending down. And my wife said, there are more than 20 TSN winter coats down there.
Winter coats?
How about we get that down to a manageable number?
Yeah. What would that be for?
Get a new one every year for the World Junior.
Do you do hits outside?
No.
Why do you need that?
Nike gives them to us.
What would you need a TSN coat for, though?
Well, you're walking to the rink.
But you used to put like advertising.
Well, it's for the whole crew. Everyone on the crew gets one, right? So the technicians need one because they got to be outside setting up and they got to, you know, look the part, right?
I need one of those.
I have several.
Hook me up. Someone at TSN, give me a coat.
The sleeves might be a little long for you.
Yeah. I need a coat.
I'm your man.
Get me a TSN coat.
I'll get you a TSN winter coat. You'll have. How many would you like?
As many as you're willing to give. I'll take it all.
I still ski in my 2002 Salt Lake City TSN jacket. It's my ski coat. Love it.
Vintage.
Yeah, my daughter's horrified.
Are you a jacket open ski guy?
No.
Because I used to be that. You can tell a rookie. Like, I was never a skier growing up. It's amazing my wife and I are actually still together because one of the first... For many different reasons. 90% of them my own problems that I bring to the table. One of the first big outings we had as a couple was we went skiing with some of her friends.
That's risky.
And she's a really good skier, and I didn't really know how to ski. And I show up, I've got like a Fonzie like jacket on.
Jeans?
I didn't have jeans. I knew enough to wear like bad off-colored track pants, but my jacket was open. So I'm skiing all day with my jacket open, and she was pretty embarrassed by that. We got stuck we're up in Collingwood, we're at Blue Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were going up a ski lift that had a green diamond or whatever
a green circle, yeah.
Green like circle.
Run, yeah. No.
No dice.
No.
No dice.
Walking down the hill, huh?
Yes. There were some obscenities thrown around.
This is your first...
Like, this was a few months into us dating, but this was the first,
Because you're staying in separate rooms at this point.
No. Well, we're not... It's not, you know, not 14 or 15
you're
at this point.
You're flushed here, man. That knocked you off stride a little bit there.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say something that I wasn't sure was politically correct, so I decided I'd better stop myself. We survived, though.
That's important.
It's very important. So now I'm a skier to an extent.
I will get you a TSN winter coat, guaranteed.
Thank you, Gord.
You're welcome. Would you like a load of used golf shirts with it?
Whatever you got, send my way.
Okay.
I'll give it to Mullen and Hunt and
Tyler, our producer, is a men's extra small.
Yeah, he's not the biggest guy in the world.
He's not wearing my.
Probably can't hook him up. Ferraro could. Him and Ray would be like perfect together.
Wait till Ray hears you say like you
Ray think, knows
you
how
think,
I
you think you say this stuff on the radio and no one hears it, right? You think Ray's like out camping right now, he's not gonna hear this?
I love the tweets where he's pretending. Did you see him tweeting that he, Cammy, and the boys were camping?
Yeah, that's...
Do you think that's authentic camping?
You know what that is? That's a motel instead of a hotel.
Exactly.
Like for Ray, like staying at a Marriott instead of a Westin is camping.
Right.
Right.
So that's, like, there's no way he doesn't have electricity, plumbing, access to showers.
Who's kidding? Who?
Like, he sends out the tweet like he's going mountain man.
Like he's going to kill what they eat. Like, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, I just bagged a deer and we're going to have venison tonight.
Right.
Like, that's not happening.
No, it's not. I don't buy it. There's no chance.
No.
Nice try. Anyway, Steve Phillips will join us here in a moment. Marco Estrada, the news for the Jays today was he was placed on waivers.
Yeah.
He was claimed by a team. We don't know which team actually claimed him, but it doesn't sound like he's going anywhere. And the reason we believe that is because this is what John Gibbons said about an hour ago.
So there's a leak? I thought that only happened in the White House. Yeah, I wouldn't read anything into it because I think he's here to stay.
Is that gut feeling or inside info?
It's none of your business.
But is that
take what I say and run with it.
Is that a case of you guys feeling you're in this race and you'd rather have him pitching for you down the stretch rather?
Oh, no doubt. You know, he's a big part of this team, and you know, we need him, and he likes it here. You know, we like him here. Yeah, I wouldn't expect anything.
Little shot at Trump in the White House.
Can I just say,
off the hop?
Can I just say that John Gibbons is one of my favorite people in Toronto sports.
Whipping boy, though.
Yeah, but here's
T.O. Whipping Boy, Naylor and Lanesburg.
And I say this specifically based only on my personal experience. When I used to call Blue Jay games, I would do like 8 to 12 Blue Jay games a year. And John Gibbons was so generous to me and had time for me. Unbelievable.
Seems like a genuinely good guy.
And by the way, had no reason to. There was no reason for him to spend any extra time with a guy he didn't know, who was only doing a few games a year. He could not have been more generous, and he could not have been more professional.
I appreciate this honesty. I wonder how Shapiro and Atkins feel about it, because if he's been if you put him on waivers, you're expecting maybe a team claims him, and if so, we're willing to at least go down the road of trading him. Now it feels like it's just a waste of time. What did you put him on waivers for?
As Gord Ash said, though, in the last hour, almost everyone does it.
It's
very common. Like, we don't know. I mean, there are probably over 100 players that have gone on waivers.
Happens all the time.
Right.
So happens all the time. But, you know, he didn't clear. Like, he got claimed. And he's obviously the team that claimed him. You would think, unless they were blocking another team further down the pecking order, claiming him thinking, okay, the Jays are a mess. Estrada's a free agent at the end of the year. Why wouldn't they make this trade? But now it sounds as if that's not going to be the case, because the Jays feel like being 3.5 out of the second wild card is enough to keep.
But this is creeping into baseball now. Baseball teams never used to trade guys when they were going to be free agents. Right? It's par for the course in hockey. Happens all the time in hockey, right? Mm-hmm. Never happened. Never used to happen in baseball.
Well, let's bring in Steve Phillips, our baseball insider, brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. So, Steve, Marco Estrada placed on waivers, claimed by a team. It doesn't sound like the Jays are really that interested in actually working out a deal, though, whichever team actually claimed him. How do you feel about the way they're playing this?
Well, I think they're doing the right thing. I mean, look, it's you know, when you have only one team to make a deal with, it's not always the best negotiating position, right? Because you've got no alternative to hold against somebody in the negotiation. The only alternative is we'll pull them back, we'll keep them, we'll play it out a little bit, and that's kind of where they stand. And so, you know, the Blue Jays' stated goal this season was to win in 2017. When things started to go wrong and they approached the deadline, then their thought was, well, if not to win in 2017, then what helps us win in 2018? And so they have to weigh any deal they can make of improving the organization against the win in 2017. And so, you know, there's probably a level at which somebody could make a proposal in a trade for Estrada to get them to bite, but the reality is that they're not getting any sort of an offer that matches, you know, their desire to win in 2017, so they're going to walk away from the deal, it seems like. It seems pretty likely they'll pull them back off waivers, and they'll play it out through the course of the year.
So what kind of value do you think we're talking here? Like 75 cents on the dollar, 80 cents on the dollar? Is there a price that would be on the table for the Jays that would make sense for them to pull this deal off that you can think of?
I think they'd have to be actually probably more overwhelmed with a, you know, at least a good second tier prospect, maybe two of them, to even go down that road, because, you know, they are 3.5 games out. And what we've seen so far in this year of the craziness in the American League wild card, the Minnesota Twins traded at the trade deadline to get Jaime Garcia. Then they fell 4.5 games out of the wild card race, so they traded Jaime Garcia away. Then over the last week, they were the number two team in the wild card. And so, you know, it's kind of gone back and forth. So, you know, I think the Blue Jays are looking at this saying, yeah, we know that we've got six teams in front of us, but five of those six teams, have been the second team of the wild card race since August 1st. Five teams have held that spot since August 1st. Some of them have been as much as four and a half games out of it and came storming back. So the Blue Jays are looking at it saying, you know, we don't know if we're going to make a run back in this thing, but we're 3.5 games out. We've got 40-plus thousand showing up every night. If we can't get something of some substance back in return that justifies making us better next year, then why not play it out and honor the fact that we have people showing up? Because you're not going to get any impactful major prospect in return. You're going to get, at best, a second-tier guy, maybe two of them, and you'll get some financial savings. Now, the other part of it is this, is that if you make a trade and you save $3 million, it's not like you can look at it and say, well, doesn't that help for 2018? That's $3 million you can apply to next year. It's not the way owners work. It's not fungible money that shifts from one season to the next season. That's money that would just be, you know, you cut your losses this year and you get a new budget that starts next year. You don't get to just keep, you know, slicing money and adding it to next year's budget, because that's where some people say, well, just move the money now and apply it to next season. If you're going to save $3 million, then save it, and you've got $3 million more to spend next year. Not the way owners tend to handle the books.
Steve, it's Gord Miller here. Feel free to call me an idiot hockey guy for suggesting this, but let me take your discussion one step further. You keep Estrada this year. Why not try to sign him for next year while you're the only team that can do it?
Well, that's a possibility. And, you know, I think that you know, back when Estrada signed, I was surprised he didn't get a three-year deal in the first place. You know, his agent, I think, undersold the market, and I thought the Jays did a heck of a job getting the two-year deal, and probably a good thing they did, so they can watch him over these last final starts and figure out, you know, how good he's going to be moving forward. Because, June and July were ugly months. They were really ugly months. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that they can wait and play it out, see how he performs. And I think Estrada would be inclined that if the Jays want to sign him, then he probably signed if it's a fair and reasonable deal. I think they have less of a chance to sign him back, because they could trade him and sign him back as a free agent if they wanted to. But, you know, once you let a player go out the door, experience another city, experience another team, then he kind of is like, well, you know what, it's not so bad going somewhere else. So they could do that, but I wouldn't do it now. I'd play it out, let him prove what he is, because the other thing they want to do, they want to, you know, he is 34, and, you know, at some point, the return will be diminished. At some point, his stuff will start to decline. And if you want to start getting younger, signing a 34-year-old that will be, you know, at some point 35 next season isn't really the way to do it. So I think they'd probably prefer to keep their options open right now.
Thanks for not calling me a stupid hockey guy. I appreciate that.
No, it's a legitimate question. Absolutely a legitimate question.
Well, I mean, the rotation, you look at what's happened this season with the question marks, with guys who either didn't fulfill the expectations or never really had an opportunity to even get off the ground, specifically Aaron Sanchez, that was supposed to be where they were stable coming into the season. They were expected to have a top three or four rotation in the American League. It just hasn't come to fruition. And I got to be honest, Steve, you know, you look at what's happened with Sanchez and Stroman. We're still relatively young guys. They have had health issues in the past. Like, I'm curious to find out what Shapiron Atkins do over the next 6-7 months in terms of how they approach the rotation, because this is an old team. This is a team that hasn't hit well defensively. They've been awful. I mean, they got a lot of holes to fill here. How do you think come the offseason they'll approach the rotation?
Yeah, I think that from every indication I've gotten from the Jays, the way they look at their club going into next year is they're in a really good starting point in the rotation with Stroman, Sanchez, and Happ. Then they're a really good starting point at the end of the game with one of the dominant young closers in Osuna. Then they say, okay, well, where are we with our everyday lineup? Well, you're in a pretty good starting point when you've got, you know, an MVP caliber third baseman in Josh Donaldson. And you've got Justin Smoke under control now at first base, to a very, very club favorable contract, for next year with an option for the following year. So he's at like 4.125 next year with $6 million the year after that. And if this is real, it's one of the best bargains in the game. It's a really good starting point for a core. Now, you've got Martin and Tulowitzki under control. They're probably unmovable contracts right now. You're going to have to hope to get more production from them than what they've given over the last year or so, because you need more bang for the buck, because you can't get that money back. So you need to get more for the money that you're already spending. But, you know, that's a pretty good core to start from to build a competitive team for next year. So I think they're really looking at it that, you know, yes, we have some work to do, but this core is a really nice competitive core to start with to compete with other teams. Now it's up to us to add those complementary pieces around the core to give us a chance to compete.
Steve, what would you do with Sanchez down the stretch here? Do you like him coming out of the bullpen?
Well, I'd love to get him back in the rotation if I can, because what we saw last year is that he's got the stuff, and he had the poise to be an ace of a staff and to really emerge as that guy. This is a lost season. There's no question about it. And, you know, one of the things you worry about too this year is that this was going to be a year that he was going to continue to build arm strength beyond the innings pitched last year. Now next year you wonder, well, how many innings can we give him next season? Because, you know, how much can we bounce him in a certain direction because he didn't pitch at all? I would keep him in the rotation until I absolutely had to move him to the bullpen. Knowing that if I move him to the bullpen, I'm going to be really good in the seventh and eighth inning, and maybe he becomes a seventh, eighth inning weapon, kind of like Andrew Miller is for the Indians. But I would keep him in the rotation if I could and be greedy. And then if the blisters continue to be a problem, then I think the bullpen has to be a legitimate consideration.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst, other news in terms of the waiver wire, Giancarlo Stanton cleared waivers. He's got 10 years left at $295 million on his deal. But you look at the way he's playing right now, it's almost astonishing what he's doing day in, day out. He's only, I believe, 27, he'll be 28 in the fall. How many teams would realistically entertain the idea of trading for Stanton?
Yeah, I think the way he's performing right now, he's hit 22 homers in his last 34 games. I mean, he's on pace for 60 right now on the season, and he's so locked in. So I could legitimately see, and we've heard the Phillies have kicked the tires, because they look, when you say, well, the Phillies aren't ready to compete right now. Well, they're not, but it's a 10-year deal, effectively, what you're training for. And so at some point, they will be, and when they are, they're going to need a guy just like him. The Braves, I think, in a new stadium would right. want a guy like that. The Mets with, now listen, they could consider a number of different ways to, you know, structure their outfield. They've got the Conforto kid in Cespedes, but, you know, maybe they play Conforto at first and Stan can play in the corner with Cespedes. That could be special, and they, you know, that's a team with money. Then I think the Cardinals are desperate for an impact bat in the middle of the lineup. They've got a lot of blenders, and I could see the Cardinals being in play. I could see the Cubs being in play, the Yankees, the Dodgers, all of them, because, you know, one other thing to keep in mind, free agent class 2018-19, you know, we're going to have Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. Yeah. You know, we've got some teams, and we've got some teams that are trying to put themselves in position to get an impact free agent player and spend some money. My guess is Machado and Harper are going to get beyond the $295 million that Stanton's due. And Stanton may actually look like a fairly decent contract considering where some of those other guys may go. And so if you can get access to him now and not have to give up a lot in return to get him, but just take the money, I think you have to strongly consider it. But it won't happen now. I can't imagine a trade or a reason why the Marlins would make the trade right now. That's an off-season deal to be made, because you want to get as many teams in as you can. And those teams are in a pennant race right now that would have interest in Stanton. What they can't do is they can't trade you three major league players to get Stanton, because there's nowhere for them to go during this waiver period to replace the other two. That, you know, you get Stanton, but you trade three. You got to get two other spots filled in. Doesn't make sense, if, you know, to be able to make a deal like that now. The offseason is by far the better time to make that trade.
Steve, he's the hottest player in the game. Is he the best player in the game? I mean, Mike Trout is kind of the conventional wisdom as the best player in baseball, but is he right there?
No, the best player by far is Trout. Not even close. Stanton could do some serious damage, but he's been streaky. He's been injury prone. I mean, when he's locked in, I mean, he's as scary a player as we've seen. And certainly for these last 34 games, I mean, he's all world and all universe. I saw a note that I think it's Ted Berg with USA Today had yesterday that Mike Trout, when you track his OPS, his on-base plus slugging percentage by week, you know, each week, mm-hmm. his lowest week, his lowest full week during the course of this season, his OPS was 867, which is all-star average. That's his lowest week. He's had only 2 weeks during the course of this season, two full weeks, in which his OPS has been under 1,000. There's been no valleys, only a peak and a plateau that's at a level that is unheard of in this game. Stanton has had peaks and valleys. Harper's right. had some peaks and valleys. Judge has had a Trout is just always great all the time, and that's what separates him from everybody else.
Thank you, Steve. Always appreciate it.
Okay, you bet. Anytime. Thanks.
Steve Phillips, our baseball insider, brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln. Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville. I don't think Trout gets enough credit for what he's doing.
No, he's a great player. I was just curious if, you know, if you think that Stanton's power mitigates the, you know.
I think, I mean, Aaron Judge, there were some people earlier in the year suggesting he's the face of baseball, and that's more of a material conversation as opposed to substance, because Trout is LeBron, he's Crosby, he's Brady.
Yeah.
Like, that's how great he is in terms of his league and his sport. Yet LeBron's the poster boy in the NBA, Sid's the poster boy in the NHL, Brady's the poster boy in the NFL, and Mike Trout isn't in baseball.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's more regional. It's the most regional sport. I think partially
California,
the
West Coast.
Fact that he plays in Anaheim.
Hard to believe that that's still the case in 2017.
But time zones are time zones, right? Doesn't matter. If he's starting a lot of games at 10 o'clock in the East Coast, there's an East Coast bias in media, in sports. There is.
It extends to the Hall of Fame. You know, players playing in the East have a better chance of making the Hall of Fame.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's just
where writers have a vote,
right?
So in baseball, where the writers determine it seems to be tilted more towards the East.
I think that applies to awards annually as well.
Sure.
When national media is involved, because the majority of national media is in New York or in the NHL, it's in Toronto.
But I think the thing about the Jays is that they will sell this sort of, you know, we're in it. But I think, again, you got to keep in mind that they probably have to go 28-16 down the stretch and get help to make the wild card.
And they've got a lot against the Yankees, the Sox, teams that are in it.
Cubs are coming up.
Cubs, they're at Wrigley this weekend. They've got games against Kansas City, Minnesota. Teams ahead of them in the wild card.
So you want that.
That's what you're looking for.
But the problem is you have those teams playing each other. Like when Minnesota plays Kansas City, what's your best case scenario?
Split.
That's your best hope.
Mm-hmm.
Or you hope that one of those teams catches fire, grabs one wild card spot, tanks the other one, and you grab the other one. But that's, again, their fate is no longer in their hands.
And that's self-inflicted, right? They've played 118 games.
Yeah,
you put yourself in the position that you're in.
They lost. You know, you think about their extra innings record, right? They're 5-9 in extra innings,
mm-hmm. which you could argue maybe unlucky, but still,
whatever it is, it's just, you know,
yeah. Don't get the job done. There's no. If you look back on it, and the result is in. You have to explain why the result ended up being what it was.
But Steve,
if you look
Steve
at the run differential, they're still -77 or something like that.
Yeah, that's the big thing, right? They offensively, they're not. Now, is that a blip?
In terms of next year turning it around? That's what they're going to sell to people. Will people buy it? I mean, I guess that's up to the individual fan. I got to wait to see what they do in the offseason. They need to revitalize left field, right field, shortstop, potentially behind the plate, second base if you don't think Travis can be an everyday guy. Maybe DH.
And maybe the pitching staff. I mean, if...
Yeah, two-fifths of the rotation... I mean, there's a lot to get done here.
Right.
So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. The toxicology report was leaked, or was reported, in terms of Tiger Woods and his DUI. lots of different drugs, prescription drugs.
Mostly prescription painkillers.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's an epidemic in the Western world right now.
The
focus on prescription drugs.
And the active ingredient marijuana, which by
THC.
The way, by the way, medicinal marijuana is legal in Florida. So there's no allegation he's taking anything illegal.
We'll come back and we'll talk about these details and if it changes the way we look back on Tiger. And, you know, he came out and he's explaining in large part why he feels he needs to take these drugs because of the injuries he's had, the surgeries he's had. And I don't know if credit is the right word, but do we address the fact that we've missed out on a lot of Tiger Woods' career because of injury?
Mm-hmm.
Does he get the Bobby Orr treatment? Does he get the treatment of players that got injured and we missed out on it? We'll discuss that next. Don't forget, O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament, September 23rd at Woodbine. Visit tsn1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. And for every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds going to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. September is rapidly approaching.
It is.
I'm looking forward to September. I like a good September.
September is the best month. September and October are the two best months for sports.
You think more so than April?
Yeah.
And May?
Yeah, I think so. Hockey starts. NFL's going.
Mm-hmm. Baseball's winding down.
Baseball's NBA starts.
Yeah. Those are the two options. April, very appealing to me.
NFL doesn't play, though.
That's the one outlier that screams at me. I love the NFL. Need the NFL.
Have to have your NFL.
Have to have the NFL. That's why September's a beautiful thing.
See, and in hockey, everyone's in it.
Right, but
everyone
I guess
has belief, right?
Like, if the Leafs are in the playoffs and the Raptors are in the playoffs and you got the Masters, April's probably better.
Mm-hmm. May's got the PGA now.
Yeah. They're moving up.
Yeah. Did you see
could use Tiger.
See the TV ratings?
Yeah, you were telling me about those.
So, the Masters, the worst ratings in 13 years. The U.S. Open, the second worst ratings ever. The British Open finished second in the Brickyard 400 NASCAR race that day. And the PGA had the lowest rating since 2008.
Any theory on that?
So Darren Rovell from ESPN, who tweeted out those numbers, polled his Twitter population, his followers, and the vast majority said because of no Tiger.
That's my theory.
So that's the problem, right? You go all in on, and you had to. He's one of, if not the greatest golfer of all time.
Transcendent athlete in that sport.
Absolutely. And so, you know, people complain, why are they showing Tiger all the time? Because he's money. I mean, remember he got hurt before the PGA in St. Louis? He had to withdraw, and the PGA offered people a chance to, you know, get refunds of their tickets, and like 15,000 people did. They were like, no Tiger, I'm not there.
Right. Advertisers probably wanting money back.
Yeah, it's incredible what he meant to that game and what a hole he leaves not being in it. And now this latest revelation about what was in his system.
Yeah, and that came out last night. The toxicology report was went public from his DUI a month ago. And five different drugs in his system, including, I guess, household names, Xanax, Ambien, Vicodin, yeah. THC, which primary drug or thread within marijuana.
Yeah, and again, medicinal marijuana legal in Florida. So no allegation of anything illegal.
The thing is, like, the times are changing so significantly. I don't care if he smokes weed, but the prescription drugs, that scares me. That's the stuff that scares me. That's the stuff that you get hooked on that really can right. change your life. And I think this does change the story. Or maybe it makes me look back retrospectively and think, maybe I didn't appreciate enough the fact that he's lucky to be alive. Like, the fact that he was a zombie getting behind the wheel. Yeah, like, he's lucky and they found him asleep.
And he's got, you know, I think the other thing is, for his health and for his family and his kids, you know, there's a bigger thing in play here. But the fact is, he reaped the rewards of a public life, and now you have to, unfortunately, accept the arrows of the public life. And this is painful. This is painful. You know, I was at St. Andrews in 2000 when he had just torn apart the U.S. Open and then tore apart the British Open. And the question was, is he the greatest athlete on the planet? Is he the most dominant athlete in the world. He was that good.
Absolutely.
Now, it's golf. I mean, but he was...
But relatively speaking, could make that argument easily.
There was no other pro athlete at that time who was that much better than everyone else. It was crazy. And to see how quickly it unraveled just a few years later and you know, through his own doing, is incredible. It's one of the most incredible falls from grace that we've seen.
Outside of OJ, nothing comes close for me. Nothing comes close. I mean, he was the king of the county. He was untouchable.
Yeah.
His reputation could not be penetrated. Everything was perfect.
And Bill Paul, the former director of the Canadian Open, said very simply, when you have Tiger Woods, you have a PGA tournament. When you don't, you don't.
Absolutely. But just how marketable he was, the way he interacted with people when he decided to interact with them, and just how far off the deep end the salaciousness of it all was. Like, this was a scandal that was so embarrassing for him,
and yet
so captivating for everyone else.
And so he turns into a late-night talk show punchline and supermarket tabloid fodder. That's what his life became.
He was a living embodiment of a National Enquirer story.
And for the guy who protected his brand more carefully than maybe any athlete of his generation, few athletes have protected their brand quite like he did.
Well, he's no different, or he was no different, than LeBron James, Connor McDavid. These guys knew when they were 10, 12 years old, I'm going to be the best of the best. Mm-hmm. Like, they were prepared at a young age. So those guys, they knew what to look out for. They were schooled to handle everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at the same time, he's a grown adult. He's a consenting adult. He was the one that was jumping around from girl to girl. He was the one that did it to himself. You know, it's not like he can blame emails being hacked or something like he was doing it, and he got caught, and his wife caught him, and then it got out, and everything unfolded the way that it did. But I was reading the story this morning just about all the drugs that were in his system, and again, the prescription drugs and opioids. I mean, that's scary stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff, like, that is an epidemic in the States and Canada and the Western world that governments all around the world are starting to tackle. But the reasoning for it, I mean, these are medications that he needs because his body is broken. And this one quote just screamed at me. He said, regarding my back, I recently spoke to my surgeon, and he's very pleased with how my fusion is healing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, because of the scandal, that, it's like, you know, moths to a light. Like, that's what we focus on. That was the source of the downfall. And I think in many eyes and in many views, that takes up 100% of the oxygen. The reason he's not Tiger anymore is because he got caught screwing around all these times, and he got embarrassed, and he can't handle it anymore. And it's almost as if we don't mention the fact that this guy's body is completely broken down.
Yeah,
like, and we've missed out on maybe the greatest golf career ever, the final chapter or chapters, because even putting the scandals aside, he can't play. Can't get through 18 holes.
It's been nearly a decade since he won a major, right? 2008?
Right. Like, think about all the athletes that, like, Bobby Orr is the most obvious one.
Yep.
Bobby Orr just couldn't do it anymore. Couldn't walk, couldn't play, couldn't skate,
but
broken down.
But the difference is, and I'm going to his tournament on Friday up in Prairie Sound, Bobby Orr is bigger, has become larger in life now almost than when he played. Since his retirement, a select few athletes become larger than life after they retire. And part of it is distance and aura. Bobby Orr, Sandy Koufax, they're not out there all the time. They are, you know, there's mystery to them. There's aura to them. I'm telling you, when Bobby Orr walks into a room, there is still aura to him, more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't for Tiger Woods. He's now a...
But that's because of the scandals,
yeah, that's it.
Right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's say you put the scandals out of it, and he still never won a major in 10 years problems.
If he heard his back in 2009 and is still married with his kids and everything else, it's... He is a beloved figure. It's all my. It's
but so, don't we as fans though feel cheated in that scenario? You know, like I think hockey fans felt cheated that they couldn't keep watching Bobby Orr, that he didn't play 1,000 games or 1,500 or whatever. Right. I don't think golf fans sit there and say, I feel cheated because I can't see him because of the injuries. I think they look at it and say, Tiger screwed me because look at all the indiscretions that got out. He couldn't handle it.
Because cheering for Tiger Woods becomes almost a, you know...
It's like queasy to an extent.
Because
or it was.
Because your wife's looking at you, or, you know, or if you're a woman, you're you know, I'm not cheering for him, right? So that's part of the issue there too. Is that he becomes this divisive figure, and he didn't handle it well after the whole thing happened, right? He was always so concerned about his brand. He just always got the sense that that meant more to him than anything, and not other people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We never really saw. We only saw glimpses of him really let down his guard. And
I'm not sure I ever really saw it. Like, it always felt a bit contrived, a bit selective. Like, okay, I'll do this one interview with this one person.
When he won the Open after his father had died.
Yeah, I guess, okay, him showing emotion.
Yeah.
But I'm talking, you know, post-scandal, him explaining himself. Like, isn't that the 30 for 30 that has to happen?
And the thing with him is that the most painful thing he would ever have to do would be to reveal himself in a public forum, to talk about how he feels or his pain. Like, this, it's just not in him. And to live this life now where every bit of his... the video of him blowing into a breathalyzer while handcuffed in
a police station.
Man. I mean,
tough.
Listen... We wouldn't want that.
No. Nobody would. I mean, listen, he put himself in that position. He took the drugs and he got behind the wheel. And he's lucky he didn't kill anybody else.
Yep, absolutely.
Let alone himself. But tough to watch. And I do wonder that. Like, if in 10 years he sits down with 60 Minutes and is like, no, I'm going to completely open up and tell you everything. I don't know if he's got it in him.
I don't think he would ever do it.
And we're not entitled to that.
No, we're not.
The isn't entitled to it.
But it's... But for him, I think just to get it off, just get rid of it. Get that behind you. He's got young kids. He's got a life. The thing with us in sports is we think when these guys retire and go away, they just go sit in a darkened room somewhere. They have lives to lead.
Mm-hmm.
They go on to their everyday lives, and it's not always easy, and it's quite often not easy, no matter how much money you have. He's living in this... Imagine walking into a room and, oh, there's Tiger Woods. Oh, there's Tiger Woods. The murmuring, the whispering, the pointing.
Well, you mentioned his kids. I mean, they're going to know what's going on.
Of course.
They probably already do. If they don't, in 10 years, Google Tiger Woods scandal, and you can find out everything you need.
You have to talk to them about it. It's a real, it's amazing to see that fall. And you talk about OJ. It's probably, I mean, OJ murdered people, and that's different. But, I mean... To see someone on that who's that beloved.
That level of celebrity and success and, yeah, just the adulation.
Now, what Tiger did, Tiger didn't break the law.
I mean, that's important to point out. Although he did this time.
A misdemeanor. And I'm not downplaying what he did, which can be very serious. But he didn't do nearly, you know.
No. I mean, being unfaithful is not.
Not a crime.
A crime. And North American sports fans, we're not much different up here than they are in the States. Love a redemption story. The problem is we keep waiting for it, and then he steps in it again.
It gets worse, yeah.
Keeps getting worse. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Jays game one more time as well. Overdrive continues on TSN2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Yankees again tonight over the Mets. I'll take Cleveland, who is hot, man. The Tribe are on fire. They're at mini. I'll take them. The Dodgers home plus against the White Sox. That is a lock. Throw down 20. You can score 49. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. I'm looking for locks tonight. The sports betting game that can let you turn small wagers into big excitement. Small wagers into... Big excitement, Gord.
49 whole bucks. Huh? You're going to lay down 20 for 49 bucks.
Pro line, get way into the game. You don't think the Dodgers are going to smoke the White Sox
Absolutely.
Tonight?
Absolutely. I'm just saying. Like,
you know, the drive and the Yanks?
You know what screams out about your picks?
What's that? Desperate?
A guy in a losing streak.
Yeah.
It screams out, you're a guy looking for a life preserver right now. You're just like...
A bit of a cooler right now. I need a heater. I'm real due to go on fire.
Are you?
Starting tonight.
I think Minnesota wins tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
You got the Twins.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. I'm confident.
You abandoned your position pretty quickly there. Like, that was
no, I'm gonna stabilize this. I'm on board.
What's your losing streak right now?
I don't know. I don't really track. I'm sure someone does, and if they do, they'll tell me.
But I'm just saying to outlay 20 for a $49, you know, like...
All right, you want me to get crazy? I'll add one more game just for you.
Yeah, come on.
Let's go Kansas City and Oakland.
Oh, Kansas City's going
to... What, do you want me to pick, like, a dog that I think has a chance tonight?
What about the Jays game tonight?
I don't like betting the Jays. I don't.
There's no prohibition. You're not a baseball player. You're allowed to bet on...
I know. It's like a Pete Rose situation. Yeah. But Estrada's had three really quality starts in a row. Do you think the fact that he knows he's going to stay with the team changes anything?
I don't think that one way or the other that would affect him at all.
No?
No.
It's always difficult to get a read on the psychology of a player at any point.
Yes.
Yet... We do it. We try to get a read on it.
I think the most successful athletes is the triumph of the uncluttered mind. Just get out there and do whatever you do.
Three quality starts in a row. You look over his numbers, and two of those were against really good teams, at Houston and at home against the Yankees. 21 innings over those three games, only four earned runs over those three games, and a strikeout-to-walk ratio of about 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're looking for.
There you go.
But they're not going to trade him. He got claimed off waivers. Doesn't sound like they're going to move him. And they're 3.5 out of the second wild card. The thing is, let's say they get there. Does anyone think they're going to go on a run and beat Houston, Cleveland, Boston, New York?
Well, if they get there, it's a huge win.
It is.
But you understand.
You'll take it.
What are the odds of them getting there?
Very slim.
What percentage chance would you give them?
15%?
Maybe. 10.
Okay, 10%. 10-15%.
They got to go like 28-16
and need a lot of help.
And get help. That's a long way to go.
Right. Yet they're committed to it. And I'm being cynical when I say this, but I think a lot of that has to do with the dollars and cents. The bottom line, we want to sell the idea, this illusion that they're still in it, so buy tickets and buy jerseys and buy beers and pizzas and the whole nine.
Yeah.
But they're entitled to that as well. It is a business in the end.
Right.
Can't be naive about it. That's the way the world works.
There you go. This was fun. I like doing this.
Thank you for doing this.
My first three overdrives ever.
Yeah, two with me and one with Scotty
no,
Mack.
No, actually, no, I did four.
You did two with Scotty Mack.
Two with Scotty Mack, two with you.
Okay, are we ever going to get you back in here or what?
Never, no.
When does it really start amping up again for you?
After Labor Day. After Labor Day is nuts.
Yeah, because you're calling CFL games and
hockey games. Preseason starts like September 18th, I think.
Okay.
NBC, World Junior.
All right, man. Well, we'll see you at some point. Give me that coat.
I'll come on once in a while. You know,
we'll call you. You just got to pick up.
Oh, I don't do that. No.
Pull an O'Neill and just say no dice.
No.
We asked for
and don't give a reason.
No.
And no reason.
No, just no reason.
Not doing it.
All right, Gord. Good seeing you, buddy.
You too, man.
There's Gord Miller. I'm out of here. Brian Hayes. I'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.